this afternoon, whatever time it is, what I'd like to do is the elders just wanted a shorter talk, and so I want to share with you just something that I was thinking about and reflecting on as my wife and I were going through and reading. She got a brand new beautiful book that was just the Psalms from her parents for Christmas, and so we started out in Psalm 1. And it's more difficult because it's in the New King James, and so translating it from King James into, you know, today's language on the spot is a challenge. So try that sometime as you're reading aloud. But it causes you to pay more attention and to reflect often when you're paying closer attention like that. And in Psalm 1, I appreciate JC reading that for us. I want to go ahead and read it again, and then I want to ask a couple of questions. But the psalm begins by saying, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But," that means in contrast, "his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." I want to go ahead and pause there. One of my wife and I's favorite questions to ask each other when you're quiet is, you know, you don't normally ask what's wrong, but generally she asks me, "What are you thinking about?" And that kind of goes back to an old joke because, you know, guys generally, when we're not, sometimes we just don't think at all. And I don't mean that in like, you know, we do things because we're not thinking, but we have our empty box, right? And I have one of those. And a lot of times that's just where guys are. We're in our empty box. We're not thinking about anything. But generally when we ask each other, you know, "What are you thinking about?" You know, it could be just about anything. It could be, you know, something we have to do later that day or our week. But oftentimes when you just let your mind wander, your mind gravitates towards things that are important to you. And it gravitates towards things that you care about. It could be memories, you know, especially if you're older. Your mind perhaps gravitates to, you know, better times or good times or your grandchildren or things like that of that nature. It could be that your mind gravitates to your spouse or your marriage or your kids. If you're JC, it could be you're thinking about the Seahawks and that they got hot at the right time and your mind gravitates towards that, you know. But in general, your mind gravitates towards things you care about, towards things that are important to you. And what really strikes me when you look at this psalm is I want you to go through and look at this again. The psalmist here says that this individual who is blessed is one who delights in the law of the Lord and who meditates on it day and night. One of the things that, and he didn't know I was doing this, I'm just going to embarrass John and Lorraine real quick. One of the things that impresses me about John and Lorraine is they think about God's word all the time. And I know that because I'll bring something up in a lesson or just in a conversation, and Lorraine or John, separate from each other that same day, will come up and say, "I'm really glad you said that. We were talking about that at breakfast this morning or on the way here this morning." Because it's just, it's on their mind. And it's what they talk about because the word is what they're thinking about together. And so there's two challenges that the text presented to me as I was reading through this that I want to challenge us with. And the first one is right out of verse 2. We're going to come back to verse 1 in just a minute. But the very first part of verse 2, the question is, do I delight in God's word? And when I mean delight, that word there is, it's this idea of finding inexpressible joy, that where I find my joy and my comfort and what I love more than anything else is God's word. Is that, can I really say that of myself? Now think about New Year's resolutions for a moment. Oftentimes, as Christians, generally what's at the top of a Christian's resolution list of things they need to do more? You can probably guess where I'm going with this. Generally, on the top of the list is, I need to read God's word more. Now, that's a good thing to recognize. That's a good thing to see. But when I examine myself, and that was one of mine, is to do better about my daily reading. I have to ask myself, though, do I look at reading God's word as something that I have to do because I just know that I have to do it? And I get this guilty feeling if I don't, and so then I go back and I have to get back on my reading schedule and get back on it. if that's my motivation behind reading God's word, it's good that you're, you know, getting back in and reading God's word, but that's the wrong focus. That's the wrong place. There's a deeper seated issue going on here. Let me explain it like this. You know, it's not about changing your reading schedule. When I look at myself, it's about changing my heart. Because if my heart really delighted in God's word, if I really loved it more than anything else, I would not have to worry about not getting enough of it, because I would be consuming it every single day. Peter likens the word of God to food, and I like Peter. Peter thinks like I do, because he likens the word of God to something else he cares about, which was food. And I've used this illustration before, but it's powerful for me. You can tell what I like to eat because I eat it all the time. And I don't have to, you know, really work hard at eating the things I like, because it just comes natural to yourself. You have to work hard at eating the things you don't like, don't you? You know, it's when your wife puts that veggie, those lima beans in front of you that you don't like. You got to work hard at that. You don't have to work hard when she puts chicken and dumplings in front of you, do you? Because it's something you crave. It's something you want. It's something you like. And when Peter equates longing for the word like food, especially like a newborn infant, and being around William and how much he eats, and, you know, other babies, you know, we were just with our nephew Adam. If I really love the word, then it's going to be something that comes from my heart, and it's going to be something that comes natural. It's something that I delight in, something that I can't get enough of. And when I look at myself, I recognize that's not there like the psalmist says it should be so often. And there's a heart issue there. And why is that the case? Well, one of the hints in the text here, go back and look at verse 1. The first thing the psalmist does here is he says that the man is blessed who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. There's a contrast there. If you want to put the word of God in your heart, that means you've got to take other things out of it first. And oftentimes the reason that I am not filling myself up with God's word is because perhaps I've already filled up my heart with all sorts of other things that shouldn't be in there in the first place. Maybe the reason I find going back into God's word as more of a chore is because every time I read it, I recognize that I have a lot of work that I need to do. But if I were to really honestly from my heart delight in God's word, then what I'm reading is hope and promise rather than difficulty and challenge and guilt. There's a difference in heart, and perhaps that's as we self-examine ourselves and when we look at ourselves intently in a mirror, we recognize maybe I'm walking in a way I shouldn't be walking. Maybe my delight is with that which is sinful, and not that which is from God's word. And I need to make a change about that. And so that's the first question that I need to really examine myself and ask myself, is do I actually delight in God's word? And the second challenge that presented me is the second thing that the text says there. And on his law, he meditates day and night. And the question naturally is, do I actually meditate on God's word? That word meditate's really funny. When you look up the actual definition of meditate there, it means to murmur. And I want you to picture, have you ever seen someone just talking to themselves and thought they've lost it? The priest thought that of Hannah, you know, when she was praying, but she was actually speaking to the Lord. But, you know, you've always seen people who just kind of like talk to themselves and are working through something. What's that? That's right. You know, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but we've all seen that where someone's they're focused so much on something that they're talking to themselves and they're talking through it. Now, this idea here is of someone, when you love something, it's what's on your mind. It's what you're thinking about. It's when someone asks you, what are you thinking about? That's the first thing that pops up because that's what you love. Here the psalmist says, this individual delights in God's word, and because of it, it is constantly on their mind in the day and when they lie down at night. And it's not just that it happens to, you know, come into their mind. This is an intentional process. Meditation here is intentional. It's I make the decision to choose what I'm thinking about. And I am choosing to think about God's word. I'm choosing to reflect on that which I delight in and that which I've read maybe that morning or that which I heard earlier in the week, that which set the tone for the rest of my week. I make the choice to take my time and give it to God with my mind. And I look at this and I think about that, and I want us to just examine our thoughts throughout the week. I want you to think about how your week goes. How often am I actually meditating on God's word? And I'm not just talking about, you know, reading his word. But when you go away from that, when I'm driving, am I thinking about it? Or when I'm home, am I thinking about it and meditating on it and praying about it? In our culture today, the first thing we generally reach for is not meditation, but it's entertainment. When we get in the car, what's the first thing you do? You turn on the radio or the CD player, and that's what we fill our mind with as we're driving. And then when you get home from work, generally what's the first thing you reach for? You know, it's the television or it's the football game or whatever it is. And that's what we fill our mind with. And then by the time you get to bed, you're tired and you go to sleep. And my point is, we kind of just go through the motions sometimes. And if I actually am honest with myself and I look back, I didn't do any meditating on God's word at all that day. We need to be intentional people, and we need to take time out as Christians, if we really love God's word, to actually think about it, to actually meditate on it. When you're driving in the car, turn the radio off. Think about God's word. Go through what you just heard in your mind and how you can take that in as a Christian, as a child of God. When you get home and when you're enjoying your time with your family, why not have a discussion over the table about God's word, instead of just all the other things that we talk about so often? And I want you to look at the promise that this psalm gives. If we delight in his word, and if we meditate on it, this is the promise in verse 3. He is like a tree that is planted by streams of water, and that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in all he does, he prospers. This picture here is of a perfect scenario where this tree has everything that it needs for life. Things grow the best when they're right by a body of water, don't they? Because they've got plenty of water. Usually they've got plenty of sunlight, and they're in a perfect place to continue to grow. Oftentimes as Christians in our lives, we get frustrated because we don't feel like we're doing what we should be doing. We feel like we should be doing more. Maybe we don't exactly know what it is, but we should be doing more. I was talking to Kylie about that just the other night, that I've been discouraged because I feel like, you know, sometimes you feel like what you're doing isn't enough, or that what you're doing isn't making a difference as to what you could be doing or should be doing. And as I reflected on that and why I felt that way, you know, maybe the reason for that is oftentimes it's because all the things that you do through the day, all the things I've thought about and meditated on and done, have been the furthest thing from God's word. They've just been life and different things that are going on. And by the time you lay your head down, I look back and I think, what have I accomplished in my walk with God today? But if I'm going to be like this tree, someone that is actually doing the work that God has bid me to do, I'm bearing fruit. And I'm constantly getting what I need to do the work that God has called me to do. The key to success for that, a sure way of ensuring that I am doing God's will and that I feel fulfilled and that I'm bearing His fruit, is these first two things we looked at. This is the promise. If you love God's word, if you really love it in your heart, and if you set your mind to think about God's will as you're going through your day, you better be rest assured that God is going to use you to do His will. Because it's the people that are mindful of Him and are always looking for those opportunities that are always going to be the ones that are going to grow and are going to be the ones that get the work done. The reason oftentimes the work doesn't get done is because I have just not been conscious in thinking about the work. I haven't been thinking about His will. I haven't been thinking about those things. I've been thinking about all sorts of other things, but not His will, not His work. And I know that this lesson's a little different because you're getting a whole bunch of jumbled thoughts from me. And this is what I've been trying to think about the last couple days as I've been thinking about this psalm. But I've come away with a couple of applications from this. And the first thing I want to share with you is if you ever feel unfulfilled in your work for the Lord, there's probably a good reason for that. Oftentimes it's because of insecurities that we have, and oftentimes it's nothing. But if you're feeling inadequate in your work for God, maybe I need to take a step back and go back to what this psalm says. Maybe I just need to take some more time to just think about God's word, to think about His will. And when I become more conscientious of His will, then all the opportunities to do it will become apparent in my life. When I haven't been focused on that, that's when you don't see those opportunities, because I haven't been focused on His will. I haven't been thinking about it. And so that's the challenge number one, the application. And I think the second one is a much more difficult one, and that's going back to the application of what am I really loving in my heart? And only you know the answer to that. Only you know what really brings you joy. Only you know what really fulfills you in your heart. And if it is all sorts of other things, and God's word is not in that list of things that bring you fulfillment and joy, you're going to actually find yourself to a place where you are not fulfilled. If you want real fulfillment, you want to feel like you're living for a purpose and with a real walk, then you've got to change your heart to be fulfilled by God's word. And that is when you will find fulfillment and purpose in what you're living for. That's the lesson this morning. I hope that this is applicable to you, especially in this new year. And I hope that it's challenged you. Like, it has really challenged me thinking about these things. In ways that only the scriptures can challenge us. But I hope that it resonates with you. And I don't see any visitors with us this morning, but we always offer the invitation just in case. Jesus Christ loves you so much. And one of the reasons you have to delight in God's word is because it delivers a plan, a mystery, that's all about God's reasons behind saving you. And it's because of this. It's because He loves you. And He sent His own Son to die on the cross so that He can take your place in suffering a death because of sin that we committed, not Him. But He, as the innocent and holy and righteous Son of God, took your place and my place on that cross. And because of His actions, we have the ability to have forgiveness of sins and a completely different and new life in Him. If you're willing to put your faith in Him, be buried with Him in baptism, and rise up out of that water, you will walk in newness of life, having received the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gift of the forgiveness of sins. Why don't you make that known now as we stand together and sing the song of invitation.